Hello, this is Daryl Bigger from Walla Walla University, talking to you about this week's Bible study guide, the subject of which is self-esteem. With me are two conversation partners, Larry Viverka, longtime member of the School of Theology, and Julian Melgosa, chair and dean of the Schools of Education and Psychology here on campus. Julian, it's a special treat to have with us the one who wrote these lessons and who has expertise in this particular area. The subject of self-esteem is such a delicate one for us because on the one hand, we Christians talk about the need to be humble, and yet we know that too much humility effaces any degree of self-worth. And as you point out by quoting from Peter, God compliments human beings rather than tearing them down. And I'm interested in that whole subject, self-esteem. Why is it important to us as Christians?
Well, the Lord has given us so much that we should feel important because He has paid such a high price for our salvation. And I think that is a good source of self-esteem at that level. And of course, self-esteem happens at the human level as well. As we relate to each other, we develop self-esteem through the way people talk to us, people look at us, people react when we say something, incidental comments come our way. Those shape our self-esteem, and self-esteem is one of the areas that is commonly associated with many mental disorders. And I think it is a duty of every member of a group to care for each other's feeling and concepts about themselves. And whenever possible, I'm not saying indiscriminately, but whenever possible, we need to be affirming of the accomplishments that others do. I always think of first chapter in the Bible when God created something and He saw it was good. There was some sense of accomplishment, satisfaction on the part of God Himself. Mm-hmm. I think that's a healthy feeling.
Let me highlight what you started out with, that we ought to feel grateful to God because of what He has given us, what He has made of us. That as a source for self-esteem is quite different from what I think we often see in our society today, where people feel good if they accomplish something and become successful. So instead of basing it just on our own abilities or successes, our self-esteem really derives from our origin in God. It is God's gifts to us that make us worthy and valuable.
There's another word that I haven't heard mentioned is the word meek. And some of these words, I think, do become distorted by secular society. We have the Mr. Milquetoast, and the meek person is somehow walked over and trampled upon and disregarded and not respected by other people, and that how you claim self-respect is to be belligerent and hostile and perhaps arrogant, and then people will give you the deference that you deserve. But, you know, the examples of people who stand out as meek people, be Jesus, Moses, both of these are individuals who spoke their mind, who were noted for their leadership, their ability to get people to follow them. And my conviction that is built into the Christian paradigm of how one grows and develops as a follower of Jesus, embodying the characteristics or character of Christ, are these qualities in which self as the focus diminishes and the good of the other as the reason for my actions and behaviors and the focus of my thoughts increases. As that happens, then I see meekness and humility as characteristic of a person who functions his life and his focus that way.
Hmm.
I could add to that, and I think also in the Christian way, for example, self-esteem building, one of the greatest ones is in the act of restitution. That's why it's there, to make things right. In the process of making things right, one's sense of worth and value grows, and it's built into the very process of how one lives one's Christian life in a sinful world.
Are you saying that the one who gives restitution or the one who receives it?
No, I'm talking about the one who gives.
Who gives it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had an incident in our community recently in which an anti-religious paint was smeared over a religious symbol from another religious community. Mm. And at a community gathering of support for this minority religion, one of our local legislators said that it's a human tragedy that perpetrators like these have to put other people down in order to lift themselves up.
Correct.
Yeah. So much of that which tears other people down is really a false effort to make ourselves feel better, isn't it?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I tell me, I'm looking at you, Julian, as the educator. Tell me about my grandchildren, who are now 5 and 3, the older of whom loves to make sure that the younger one knows that he's big. I'm 5, you're only 3. I'm big, you're little. Are those ways in which self-esteem is damaged?
Well, no, I don't think self-esteem is damaged. Little kids are playing with that idea. They are toying with the idea of power. They want to experience what is being in charge and what is being the most important. And I think parents have to be careful to instill a sense of love for others, even if it costs you a little bit of pain, and at the same time to feel good about things that you have. They have to be both together. We were talking before about the differentiation that we can make between, being arrogant and having a right self-esteem. And I think that the root of that understanding has to do with the concept of self-esteem, although self-esteem expression is not used in the Bible at all, but with the concept of self-esteem in the context of the Bible and the concept of self-esteem as it is understood in psychology at large and in the society. For example, there are several studies that are easy to make that are asking people what is your main source of self-esteem. And the answers go like this. The most common answer is first, looks, okay? Mm-hmm. Because that's what people see first. Mm-hmm. And when you are seeing a child, oh, how beautiful, how handsome, how pretty. The second one has to do with social acceptance or popularity. Mm-hmm. The children that are more popular, they tend to be higher in self-esteem. Third, achievement in school. Those who get higher grades, they feed their self-esteem in that way. And fourth, conduct. The way they behave, that brings them more self-esteem. And then finally, they competition in sports and games. Those are the five top ones in children. But although that there is nothing necessarily wrong with that, that is very different from what the Bible says about health, self-esteem. And for example, in Ephesians 4:25-32, there is a list of activities there that God considers important. In other words, the believer should be feeling proud, if you want, of having those in the list, which includes being honest and truthful and keep the tempers down and be oneself under control and work hard. and build others up through the way we say things, and getting rid of bitterness and brawling and slandering. Those are areas in which a Christian should strive for and feel good that part of the character of God is being reflected in oneself. Quite different from, you know, being good at sports and being mm-hmm. physically attractive and being mm-hmm. popular and so on. So we need to make that differentiation as well, which is an important one.
Very useful. Huh. Are there not some people, though, who get so carried away with some of these things you refer to and that you've included in your book on this subject, mental and emotional health? Are there not some people who get so caught up with that? Looks, grades, social affirmation, etc., that they become obnoxiously arrogant, and what we really need to do is cut them down to size somehow. Those people need some criticism, don't they? Wouldn't that be the best way to approach that?
You want an answer, right?
You're both smiling at me. What does the Bible mean when it says that we ought not to think of ourselves higher than we ought? We're coming back, Larry, close to what you talked about earlier and labeled meekness. How can you be meek and have good, solid self-esteem all at the same time?
Well, you know, my understanding of that is that my focus is no longer upon, and motivational system is no longer on my own promotion of my own self-interest. What I find as my level of satisfaction, my meaning, is in the success and the building up and the accomplishment of good and the well-being of others.
Mm. Is it ever helpful to remind people of their faults, to give them a little dose of reality?
I think so. If one does that in a non-critical, non-judgmental, non-accusatory, very straightforward description of the facts way, and then turn that back to the person by saying, well, "What's happening? What's up? I'm really interested in what is happening with you."
In this verbal conversation, we can't underline or make bold letters out of those series of words.
Well, typically,
non-critical, yeah. Non-judgmental.
When we go the opposite way, what we do is we put people on the defensive, and then they defend those very things that we're trying to help them take a look at.
Yeah,
and that's not the point of.
Exactly.
A
right.
Confrontation.
God intended us to feel good about ourselves. The memory verse for this week's lesson illustrates that well. Peter reminding the believers that they were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's special possession. Well, thank you, Julian, for bringing up this subject of self-esteem and talking about with us today. And Larry Viverka, thank you for being here. And thanks, too, to our engineer, Chad Ofterhaar. This is Daryl Bigger for The Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.